This holiday season is upon us, which means if you're anything like me, you like hosting classy holiday soirees and get-togethers, or you need to drink just to deal with your family. Either way, there's only one stop you should be making, and that's Riverside Wine and Spirits. It's the place. They have the area's biggest selection of wine, liquor, and craft beer. But the fun doesn't stop there. They have a growler filling station with rotating taps. They have mixers for even the most obscure cocktails. They even have cheese, classy cheese. It's also a great place to get you or someone else a gift of some kind. So, come on, get classy at Riverside Wine and Spirits.
Happy holidays, Brew Chatters, whichever holiday that might be. Right off the bat here, I just wanted to take a serious note for a minute. And I just wanted to take a moment and appreciate a wonderful soul we lost this week. Carrie Fisher, or Princess Leia. She passed away this week, which that was, you know, sad for everybody. But also, I'm recording this intro on Thursday, you know, right before I post this, and we've also lost her mother this week. It was just a little bit too much for her to bear, but we also lost Debbie Reynolds, Carrie Fisher's mother, which, you know, that's sad. So keep them in your thoughts this week as we draw this hellacious year to a close, and you're spending time with your families, and just keep them in your thoughts. This is the last episode of the Brew Chat Podcast for 2016, and we're drinking more Maryland beers this week, hailing from Alan and Jared's hometown. Or not their hometown, but their home state. And we're also talking about comedies because, well, quite frankly, I think we all need it, drawing this shitty year to a close. But yeah, so here's the Brew Chat Podcast, episode 46, Comedies and More Maryland Beers.
Four more Maryland beers.
We're bringing Maryland's. Do you have? Okay, so you're bringing. You brought Maryland beers again.
Yep.
Do you have a theme that you're going with? With which ones you're choosing to bring, or
the ones I have left and have talked about. Last time it was ones I knew, or what? Breweries. I'd been to Flying Dog, and I'd worked at Ram's Head, so I knew the Old Dominion and the Fordham. I have gone to Dewclaw. We have two Dewclaws with us, the Bare Ass Blonde, a personal favorite and one of their staples, and the Neon Gypsy, a Blood Orange IPA. Ooh. And then the other two I picked because they looked super Maryland. I got this one, the Cask, from... Where is this from? I don't even know who does this. Raven Beer? No?
You just passed it.
Okay. It has Edgar Allan Poe on it. And he's like Baltimore. He's from Baltimore. Baltimore loves him. The Ravens. And so,
is that why the Ravens football team is?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Did not know that football had a literary reference.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They are super proud of Edgar Allan Poe from being there. And the other one looks, it's called Duck Pin Pale Ale.
Yeah, it's got, you know, a duck pin on there from the Duck Pin Bowling. If you don't know what duck pin bowling is, it's like regular bowling, but the ball is smaller. It's like a skee ball, and there are 10 pins.
I've never and they're heard all, of
it's
this.
Like a, or there are 15 pins in duck pin.
I think there's still 10, but they're short. They're like the size of these beer bottles.
Yeah, they're tiny.
Yeah, super tiny.
I think I've seen this before, but I just thought it was like street bowling or something.
Almost. It's a dying... You can't find duck pin lanes anywhere. I know of one off New Hampshire Avenue up there in Silver Spring. I'm not going to say it's the last one, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear White Oak was the last duck pin bowling lane.
Yeah, but there is one, as far as I know, still in White Oak, Maryland.
Yeah,
if anyone's interested.
All the octogenarians from Leisure World go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word I like throwing around.
I've never heard of duck pin bowling. That is pretty cool.
It's awkward because the ball's so much lighter and smaller. Like, you think, like, oh, I'll hurt. It's like the size of a shot put, but it's not made of solid lead. So you're like, you throw it down, like, I think the lane is bowling lane sized, but the pins are tinier, so they also don't, like, they fly around more quickly and don't bang into each other as much because they're smaller.
Yeah, it works a little differently.
You've got to be a lot more precise, but, like, a skee ball lane is short. This is, like...
And not just powerhouse it.
Right. Yeah, because it'll go... You can powerhouse it, but you won't hit anything way at the other end. Or you'll powerhouse it, it'll go... It'll carve through the middle and not knock anything else down. Like, you get what looks like a strike, and it just goes and knocks those pins out, and you're like, shit.
Yeah.
Now there's tiny pins on either side of me. But yeah, which one do we want? Let's do the bare-ass blonde.
I was thinking going in this order right here, starting with the blonde, and then the pale ale, then the IPA, and then the stout.
Yeah, Duclaw, there's four or five they're brewery restaurants up there. I think there's four or five of them. They're all in Maryland. Bare-ass Blonde's one of their staples, and it's my usual go-to, depending on what the seasonal is, but it's always there. I think it's like same kind of deal that Raging Bitch and Arrogant Bastard have where, you know, people come in off work and they just love to say, I'd love a Bare-ass Blonde. It's a blonde ale, if that wasn't obvious. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those guys.
Do you know if any of these are available anywhere around here?
The Duclaw ones are not. They'd have no reason to ship them out all the way out here from, like I said, four or five establishments. I'd never seen the Duck Pin. I've never seen the cask. They might show up at, like, Total Wine down in Kennesaw, but...
Oh, this is pretty good. Oh, I forgot how good their beers were. I can't wait for the Neon
Gypsy.
This is tasty,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Respect the fluid.
And yeah, they've got fun tapping parties. Although, you show up from one of their tapping parties, they're giving away t-shirts, logoed glassware, bottle openers.
What? All sorts of shit.
They have a video. They give all kinds of swag away just for showing up like once a month. You know.
It's great.
We didn't pay to join a loyalty thing, but I got on their email list and they're like, come to any of our places and get free shit. And like, you're telling me discounted beer plus free t-shirt and logo glassware?
Mm-hmm.
I'm there.
Speaking of, let's go get off topic for a minute. Odd Story, this, I think Saturday the 31st, is having their grand opening.
Odd Story. Where's that?
That is right. It's going to be right across from Hutton and Smith.
Oh, okay.
What is
that place?
A new brewery.
A new brewery.
Oh.
Opening up. Yeah.
Yeah, they're having their grand opening on the 31st, so I was planning on going down there to that, at least for a little bit.
Yeah. Do you know what time that's going on?
That would be chaos opening a bar on New Year's Eve.
I feel like it's earlier, though. It's maybe. When they're doing their actual, like, you know, people that actually care about the beer and aren't just looking to party.
Right.
They're opening earlier, I believe, like maybe 5, 6, 7 o'clock, somewhere in there. And
that's a bold strategy.
That is a bold strategy. I don't know if I'm going to be going over there for the opening, but I would like to go over there.
Yeah.
Are they open? If they're open, like, all weekend, I've got off for the next couple days after that,
too. It's a bold strategy opening, essentially, in January.
Anyway. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see, though.
I hope for the best. I want to check it out.
The same thing. Didn't they end up opening in January when they finally opened? They're doing sort of okay.
I don't remember. I can tell you when they opened.
I think Will said something about that. Anyway.
No, I mean, that area down there on MLK is blowing up. So
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. But this beer.
This beer.
Blonde color. Nice and clear. Light flavor. Light taste.
Inoffensive. It's not. It doesn't, as some people I've noticed say, do that thing, which is the hop finish.
Oh, okay. No, it's a good gateway beer if you're going to, you know, if you're trying to get into beers and Natty Light isn't your thing.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a
really subtle hop.
No, it's really easy to drink.
Yeah, it is really, really easy to drink.
Pool beer.
Yeah, pool beer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Or like mowing the lawn kind of deal.
Yeah, something you can drink and be proud of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, that's a good one.
Now, this Duck Pin, it says a Baltimore original on there. It looks like a Natty Bow, which I think is kind of what they're going for on the can. Same sort of silver and red colors.
I thought it was a Tecate at first.
Same kind of, yeah. Kinda.
Ooh, okay, here we go. Stay out of the gutter, recycle this can. This generously hopped pale ale is a strike in your mouth. Giggity. Brewed with lots of Pacific Northwest and Southern Hemisphere hops, this beer is 10 frames of big citrus and tropical fruit aroma and flavor. A strong malt backbone rounds it out and makes this pale ale a delight for the senses. The pins may be small, but the flavor is huge. In our town, we roll Duck Pin, a true Baltimore original.
Does it say Baltimore?
No, it says Baltimore.
Okay.
But, yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, I think the rules and everything is the same for Duck Pin bowling. It's smaller.
The way you describe it, I don't picture it, which I'm probably wrong in this, but I don't picture it in a location necessarily like a bowling alley. It seems like something you could have in your backyard.
No, because you have bowling lanes. Like, they're actual...
Yeah,
but smaller. Hmm. It's... Yeah. For whatever reason.
Smaller pins, thinner lanes,
smaller
balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just as long.
It's like playing a child's version of bowling.
Or an adult's version of skee ball, which is really just skee ball.
Yeah, but the skee ball, you know... I don't know what you call it, table ramp thing.
Yeah,
that's
it's
only
like a child's bowling.
Yeah, that's 15 feet long at best. The duck pins are like full lanes, and
that's true.
It's fun because it looks easy until, like I said, you throw the ball
totally
and
different.
It's way too light. You get it in the gutter, or you just decide to power launch it and it knocks down the center row of pins, and nothing flies anywhere. So you're like, I don't know how the fuck to do this. You might get three throws. Am I making?
Maybe. I can't remember.
You might get three shots.
Yeah, who cares?
Everyone in Leisure World. Old people can do it because the balls aren't heavy.
Yeah.
That's why. That's how I picture it, is one of those old people games. Like
it is.
Yeah, like shuffleboard.
Yeah, it very much is. Except shuffleboard you can set up anywhere. Like, if you have the choice between... if you're going to invest in a bowling alley... Like, you might as well invest in a regular one where you can do cosmic bowling and, like, host actual leagues. Like, if you're the only duck pin one, it's a fun novelty, I think, but...
It might fly some places around here.
I could see people in this area playing North Shore duck pin bowling, ironically.
Oh, yeah, that or, I'm thinking even people enjoying it, like, somewhere in Georgia. Or, like somewhere like across a line. I mean, there's places with a bunch of older people, and if it does seem to be an older person game, if they just haven't been introduced to it down here, you never know.
It could spread like an invasive species. I've never heard of it.
This beer is generously hopped.
It is generously hopped. Yeah.
It's almost like an IPA.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know this was a pale ale.
I thought it was going to taste like how the can looked, which, like you said, is like a natty bow.
I could drink this while duck pin bowling.
Much better.
Or regular
bowling. What is natty bow you guys keep talking
Natural
about?
Natural Bohemian. That's also from Baltimore. Oh, it's got a picture of the Pringles guy on the front.
Okay,
I forgot
okay.
People, I guess, might not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is. It looks like a Tecate can.
It does
kind of look like a Tecate can.
Same color.
Bohemian is Baltimore's pride and joy cheap lawn mowing beer.
Mm. Yeah.
It is the PBR of Baltimore and Maryland.
The Big Flats.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's better than Big Flats.
You haven't had Big Flats.
You're right. I don't know why. Ooh,
I gotta get us some.
You gotta get some.
Yeah.
We gotta do the macro challenge.
Yeah, we do have to do that. We should do that sometime in January.
During the slow season. Yeah.
Or we could kick off the new year of the podcast with that, because after 52 episodes, it'll have been a year.
Well, no, I mean, this is the...
46?
This is 46.
Oh, you're talking about after we've been doing this a year. Yeah, because this is our last episode for 2016.
For the year, that's right. Yeah. This is the end of the year.
So when, people hear from us next, it will be next year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, and I'm excited about next year, because this year sucked, because obviously,
all the stuff.
Yeah. Even, today, Carrie Fisher passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We lost George Michael the other day. It's been a tough fucking year.
When you have to do a death toll every episode, that's
I know.
A rough year.
And it's like, it's one of those things where we're starting to see all these people that partied really hard in the 80s, like the late 70s and 80s, they're getting up there in age.
Yeah.
And, that hard partying, and I think this is a good message to get out anyway. Is, we like to drink and whatnot and have a good time on the show, but you gotta still pace yourself a little bit and be careful, because that shit will catch up to you.
Everything in moderation.
Mm-hmm. And, that's what we're seeing right now, is all of these people that are passing away this year, a large portion of them are people that you know, they were probably pretty hard partiers in the late 70s and 80s. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it catches up to you. Like, Carrie Fisher, her mom's still alive.
Yeah.
You know, no parent should have to bury their kid.
I know. I always think that from Lord of the Rings. From,
yeah.
From the Two
no
Towers.
No father would have yeah, to bury no, his
son. Yeah, that's rough.
But, yeah, it's been a shit year. And it's like, it's one of those things, it's not like death is going to be like, well, 2016, that's, you know, it. So it,
yeah, there's no reason 20.
Not, yeah, there's no reason it should be any different.
Right.
Like, moving forward.
If the bad stuff could just only be contained to celebrity deaths, yeah, that'd be one thing. Like,
and like,
but this was a shit year as well as a ton of like,
things well,
people
and going
died.
Forward, like, more than likely, everyone that we look up to is older than us. Like, moving forward, it's all going to be misery.
Yes.
Just for the next 20 years, just misery as every one of your pop culture icons dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fan-fucking-tastic.
But Carrie Fisher passing away, that's pretty tragic.
I know.
But
it. Do you guys think it's going to hurt the series or no?
No, it definitely won't hurt it.
No, if anything,
not hurt the series, but yeah, like this new trilogy coming out.
They finished up episode 8.
They finished filming episode eight, and you know, like you were talking earlier, you said, you know, before we started actually recording, is that may have been the plan.
Yeah, know, General Organa may not have actually. I mean, we don't know. She might not. That character might not make it through episode 8.
Yeah.
So,
which would really be perfect, and I don't know, like. Who knows if they've got time to go back and sort of retool that or something. Like, if they could make it work, I would almost do that. Let her go out on a high note.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But especially with things we talked about, you know, things that happen in Rogue One towards the end. I don't want to spoil it for people that maybe have not seen or listened to the Rogue One episode of the podcast. But certain things that happen in Rogue One, I'm very glad that that happens now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was very good timing. Almost creepy timing, but...
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, me too.
It's been a shit year, yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty shitty, but that's okay. Yeah. Looking forward to the new one.
Yeah, I'm
there's
very
still 4.5 days of... Not four, about 4 days of where shit can still go wrong, though.
Yeah.
Like, I thought George Michael might have been it. Like, well,
yeah,
that's
right?
Christmas, what a fucking wonderful nightcap.
What I remember even, I mean, it's one of those things where it's not just like everyone, I mean, it's unanimous. 2016 has been a shit year.
Yeah.
Everyone you talk to, both on personal levels for people and huge cultural levels for people. And I'm excited going into 2017 because, I mean, weird sort of placebo, like cultural placebo effects happen where... Shit, I've not finished my other one. Is there another glass?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're passing the beers around.
Ooh.
See, and this is the, which one is this?
This is the Neon Gypsy, a blood orange IPA. I've never had this one.
Blood orange?
Neither have
I. Sounds delicious.
Yeah, that's
why
good.
I went with that one. I love blood orange.
Me
I'm
too.
Glad it was, like, hot for a minute
that
over
is
the summer.
Oh, my God, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that but, smells really good.
Back to what I was saying real quick is,
yeah, sorry to cut you off. Yeah, this is good.
Is there, you know, cultural placebo effects, like socio-culture placebo effects of it becoming a new year. People are going to look at it like it's a new year. It's time to change shit and it's going to be a better year. So that has a wide scoping effect. And that's why I'm excited about it.
That's true. Since
year.
Since everyone was so pissed off about this year.
Yeah.
They were like, all right, let's do something about it.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if people stick with it or not. Like the general idea and consensus throughout the community is positive, and it's like, no, this let's make this year better, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
I'm excited about that, because this year has been shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but moving forward.
It started with the Panthers losing the Super Bowl.
They were never going to win.
They could have won.
Yeah.
They could have won.
If that is how, you know, the powers that be had wanted it to happen, and a metric fuck ton of money had changed hands, but.
Is that shit wrapped up yet? Do we know who's going to the Super Bowl?
No, not yet.
No.
There's not any real standout teams this year.
Mm.
Not the Panthers,
yeah,
that's
not
for
really.
Sure.
No, not the Panthers. Everyone else in the NFC South, though. Bastards. Anyway.
Yeah.
This Neon fucking Gypsy. Beer is
yeah,
delicious.
Yeah, this beer is amazing.
I'm all about the blood orange hype.
Neon Gypsy.
I think oranges are great. They're great for you.
I wish you could get.
But
I've gotten
blood orange is just like
blood orange is a fruit. Like blood
mm-hmm.
orange.
It's
is a
real
fruit,
thing,
right?
Yeah, it's just like a red orange, like a dark, dark red orange.
Like
blood colored.
No,
orange.
I had some blood orange juice, like straight up blood orange juice one time. It was expensive, mm-hmm. and it came in a small thing, and I was mad about that. Mm-hmm. But it was good, and I never found it again from whatever store I bought it from.
Yeah.
But like straight up blood orange juice, good stuff.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
It's like top shelf regular orange juice. And it looks cooler.
Yeah.
But yeah, it smells.
And it has the word blood.
You can smell the blood orange on it. You can taste it. It's
definitely. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. I had a couple other blood orange IPAs too. And I mean, it goes really well with the hops that are used. I don't know which ones are in this.
Because it's like it's a more bitter fruit. And it really goes well with the bitterness of the hops.
This crisp, clean IPA blends the grapefruit, citrus, and pine notes of 7 hops, it doesn't tell me which ones, with the tart sweetness of blood orange for a flavor profile that roams your palate long after the beer's bittersweet finish, which it does.
I bet there's citra hops in there.
Now pop the top, because it's bloody refreshing. I get it.
Yeah, but why Neon Gypsy?
I don't know.
I know. I know you don't know. I just wish it, like.
It's a cool name, though.
It's a cool name.
That could
be it.
If somebody thought
maybe they
of
looked
a name
at it,
that
they
was
were like
neon.
They were just like holding it up to the light, and they were like, "Let's call it the."
Or
neon
somebody
Gypsy.
Thought of a badass rock band name, but they don't have a rock band.
There you go, and they just named their beers after them. That's a good idea, actually. 6.5% ale brewed with blood orange.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty fucking
good.
That's
my pick of the night thus far.
Yeah, I'd say so. This duck pin, by the way, does it say on here? Smooth and hoppy. That's how we bowl. Nope, just roll. That's how we roll.
The bare-ass blonde sitting in a nice even 5.
This is 5.5.
Okay. This the cask is 8.
Okay, so I guess we're also...
We're drinking them in strength and color.
Nice. All right, good for us.
Yeah, we've been doing it usually in the reverse the past week or so, like the past 2 or 3 weeks.
Although I have noticed it is nice to sort of end on a lighter note if we start drinking heavier beers. It's like start off drinking heavier. It gets easier to try the other beers. But, I mean, I personally prefer going lighter to heavier. That's what when I was working in the restaurant, I would recommend that people do.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But I have a nice little Kolsch here as a palate cleanser.
Yeah, I'm drinking... Is this your pale
ale? Yeah, that's one of my pale ales.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck those green bottles.
I've got the Lost Coat Kolsch from...
Are you off the green bottle train now?
Yeah, I did it because I thought it would look cool
and
be different because I can control the production from start to finish and get no light pollution. They don't cap well.
Mm-mm.
At all.
They don't.
And with the inability to like super filter it so it's like completely like super clear, like a cloudy beer in a green bottle is not a good look.
Yeah. No, not really.
It just winds up looking dirty.
Yeah.
It does. It does. That's unfortunate.
But you know what? I'm glad I found out now before I got like a price break on 500 of them, but it was still super expensive and I'm like, well, I'm a professional. Surely I'll like know what's going on with these. But
yeah, no, if you could get a clearer one in there, then yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the filtering ability to make that look good. And it, like I said, it looked cool, but not cool enough to justify drinking. They're more expensive if you buy them straight.
You should save the green bottle for your pool beer.
For my pool? Yeah, I could
whatever
do that.
Whatever your pool beer is going to be. It's going to be light, probably filtered quite a bit.
Once I can get the filtering down, I got a whole list of questions to ask Brian about next time he's on.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of random homebrew questions that don't seem to be answered anywhere that I've found. Like, Irish Moss, what's the deal with that? Brian, I know you're listening. Come on sometime soon so I can just grill you with random questions like that. But yeah, I've got... I mean, I'll save them, but they're not going to be first in the rotation. They'll be... Mm-hmm. quietly moved toward the back after being washed out. And I'll use them like in a time of emergency. I got two beers. I made another one on Saturday randomly. So
remind me, I've got a box out there full of bottles.
Nice.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I also brought my black IPA, which is now ready to drink. I had planned on it being ready on Christmas, but tried it before then and it tasted great. So I'm going to throw it in rotation here. And I know you tried it already.
I think I did when you tried it. I haven't tried it since. I tried it when you tried it. And not since then. So
this one's pretty good, actually. And I think it does have to do with the fermenting temperature. And I really hope that the ones that are going on right now...
when they're not exploding.
When they're not exploding.
There was an incident with the one I made on Saturday. So we've got... There's the two kinds of bubblers. There's the three-piece one. And there's... Where it's, for lack of a more technical term, you fill it with the sanitizer, you put on the little plastic dealie upside down, it's almost like a hat that bobs up and down as CO2 is released, and then you put the cap on it. And it moves around, and you can see it bouncing around, it's kind of cool. And then there's the S-shaped kind, which is two pieces. And much like my 01 Cavalier that has... no electronic stuff in it at all. I'm like, fewer moving parts generally means something will work better. Less things to break, less room for error. And it was about the same price as the other one. So I picked one up for $1, whatever it was. And I thought, let me try this one in the primary this time just to see how it does. And how it does is...
The beer I was out of town, so I didn't notice this right away. This was the day that I was leaving.
Yeah, how it does is... I guess the beer. Now, I don't know if it's the beer I made with the extra ingredients that made it super angry or super active, but it was, after checking on it in underneath the stairs, it had escaped a little. There was, it's a brown ale in color, beautiful color, which I now know because it was all over the top of the lid of my bucket. And it had gone through the S-shaped thing and completely clogged it up. I mean, the thing was sticky. The holes were sealed shut. It was full.
Did it just ooze yeast up through there, or what was it?
It smelled like beer.
Huh.
It was. I think it just got super angry and bubbled up, and
it like foamed up through.
Yeah,
the...
and it couldn't escape because the, you know, thing was shitty. So I popped it off because I had to. Well, first I got the other one ready, popped it off. It had a few seconds to release any latent, you know, buildup in there so it wouldn't explode again. Threw the new one on, and it was still super angry 2 days later. Like, it was bubbling and going nuts. Like, I felt like this beer was mad at me. Like, it was mad that I had left it.
Kill me.
And was that from just
More like a fuck you leaving me alone.
Was there just, like, a ton of pressure in there? Is that what that was from, or...
Because
this is in the fermenting process, right?
Yeah, it was in the fermenting bucket, and there was brown beer on top of the bucket.
They need tender love and care.
Yeah, it was. I put it down, and it was just still mad, like, motherfucker, you left me alone. I'm sitting here trying to ferment. You put that shitty fucking top in there. God damn, you bastard.
You put this other motherfucker in charge of me?
It's yelling at me like the pair, like Iago the pair. I can't believe you fucking did this. This shitty-ass bubbler. God damn it, with the other one. And I'm like, okay. You know, put the other one on there, and it's just bubbling, and then it's mumbling to mumbling to itself, like, this cracker ass motherfucker just like think he's gonna leave me alone under here. Think he's gonna go away for a week, and I pay attention. I'll show him what the fuck is up.
Is it possible to make like a permanent? Well, I guess you have to take it off to clean it.
Yeah. But I put the new one on there. It was bubbling angrily. I wiped it around, kept like checking back on it later. This wasn't like a quick. The yeast is still going, so like I checked at the end of the night hours later, it was still bubbling away.
It's still bubbling today.
It was mad. It was mad at being left alone.
The other one's done. The other one's not bubbling.
The other one's been done, but I got stuff floating in for the segment. So
and this is the one that we
this is the one
about.
Going into the contest. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My contest one is bottled now.
Okay.
So it's ready to go. I'm going to try it in a couple weeks. When do we have to turn it in?
End of January.
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to try it first. But,
yeah, I think I'll probably bottle mine this weekend.
We'll see. The color isn't quite what I wanted, but we'll see what happens once it's in the bottles for a little while.
Yeah, It looks good, but yeah, this black IPA, it's...
Yeah, this it's actually black darker IPAs than...
Black IPAs aren't my favorite, but that's not bad.
Darker. Oh, you tried it?
Yeah, I would keep drinking it if given it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
See what I mean when I was telling you it has, like,
it does have
that
very
little bit of sweetness?
Yeah, and it's got a very peculiar smell to it that I can't place.
This is the first one that I dry hopped, so that could have something to do with it.
Yeah. What type of hops did you dry hop it with?
Centennial, I believe, and Citra. I think it was an even amount of both. I don't have my sheet with me. We should digitize our instructions.
Yeah, right now they're written in notebooks and stuff.
Is the notebook still at my house, or do you have it on?
Yeah,
you
it's in the shoebox.
Okay, it's in the shoebox. Okay.
We have such a professional filing. Yeah, the notebook in the shoebox in your laundry room.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in your laundry room there.
I'll take those recipes and I'll put them on some sort of file this week sometime.
Yeah, they're all there.
So put it in Evernote. Okay. It'll scan your text and whatnot, and you won't have to type it out.
There's no way you can read semi-drunken.
It'll be all right.
It's pretty good with my shit.
All
right. I'd like to see it then.
I'll give it a shot. Evernote. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying.
This black IPA is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, this is my favorite so far. But I guess it is the third one.
I like
them. And it's also not from a kit, so it doesn't, I don't know. It feels better drinking it, maybe. Maybe that's why it tastes better to me.
Yeah. It does have a much, like, all of the beers that you guys have made have all had... Like, they've all tasted different, but they've had, like, this certain sort of tinge. Not in a bad way, but, like, they've had it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, both of yours.
Yeah.
And this is the first one that's not had that.
That doesn't really. Yeah.
Yeah, the one I'm working on for the contest is the first one I only kind of based on a recipe. The one I did on Saturday, there was nothing. There was no
nothing
paper.
At all. Didn't
there
even,
was
yeah.
no.
Oh, yeah.
This was, I was writing it down as I did it, and then realized I'd fucked up my math and had to go back and retroactively. I bought twice as much hops as I meant to. Don't think that's going to be a bad thing. That's in my funny. Head, it had a small amount, but I think based on the way it was smelling, you know, the good news is having bubbled up over the top and like on the lid, like I can smell this now. Like it's, yeah, I like where this is going. So. It's a good thing that I bought, you know, the extra hops and everything. So, yeah. Good. I'm glad that worked out that all way.
Right. Yeah, good.
But yeah, there's I had to write down this process because there was nothing to base this on. And I bought ingredients based on, like, the names. Because now I think I'm at least confident enough to sort of, like, read the notes about the hops and stuff and kind of know where I'm going. And
right.
Realize it's not about... I feel confident enough to... Not necessarily say I'll make the best combinations, but I know which ones would be terrible. Like, I can dodge making something truly awful. Like, I don't know, like putting chocolate in Alfredo sauce or something. Like, I know that would be a terrible combination of things.
So.
Right, yeah, you don't want chocolate Alfredo.
No, that'd be awful.
Oh, God.
No,
I was trying to think of that okay
of a situation in which chocolate Alfredo would be okay, but no, I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt because I like both those things. Maybe like a dark chocolate Alfredo or a
just
white
because you like them,
white chocolate Alfredo.
No, you can go like a chocolate cream sauce for some sort of dessert, but once you start throwing in the Parmesan cheese,
that's
the
true.
Romano, it's
that's
no
true.
Good.
That's very true.
Someone out there is going to take this as a
thanks.
Challenge and be like,
I'll show you.
Faceless asshole on the podcast.
Send it on in here. I'll eat it. No meat. I'll eat it. But lots of cheese.
Well, do we have one more beer there?
We do.
We do. We have the cask.
Yeah, let's crack into that.
Let me finish one of these glasses here.
You can open it. We got some glasses on the thing.
So there's my glass.
Yeah. The one, I gotta tell you, the one I made off books and based on nothing, I was excited to make that. Like, there was a rush knowing that there was no plan to fall back on, no instructions to follow, no trying to be like, oh, well, I have to, you know, make sure I have all my ingredients lined up and ready to go in this order and everything. It's like, I got some kind of idea. Fuck it.
Right.
I'll add these hops in at, like, in the beginning and then this one in at, you know, 30 minutes and everything. We'll see how this turns out. This
hopefully
thing is, this cask one, The Cask. It's not a cask ale. I think it's called The Cask.
Yeah, it's called The Cask.
It is. I thought it was going to be dark. This is a super deep red. Like, really, really red.
I'd say so. Yeah, like plum, maybe colored.
Garnet,
yeah. It's pretty good.
Huh.
It's very dark red.
Oh, it's got an interesting smell to it.
My heart grew sick on account of the dampness of the catacombs.
It smells like flooded basement.
Yeah, there we go. I forced the last stone into its position. I plastered it up. Against the new masonry, I re-erected the old rampart of bones.
The rampart of bones?
Mm-hmm. Re-erected the old rampart of bones. For half a century, no mortal has disturbed them. In pace requiescat. Requiescat?
Going back to those, like...
The Cask of Amontillado. Amontillado. Edgar Allan Poe.
Going back to those, like, terrible descriptions, but in a good way. It does smell like flooded basement, but in a good way.
Right?
No, I can get that out of there.
Yeah, but it's like how we always have the worst descriptions, but it's somehow good.
It still has that... What is that that I am smelling specifically when I smell a cask beer?
It's fermented. They ferment a Mormon, just age them like sort of in the cask.
I guess they do secondary fermentation in the cask.
But that smell that I'm smelling, like when you smell a cask beer.
I think it's in barrels. Yeah, barrels. That's why. It's always in a wooden cask.
Yeah, but
cask.
What is that? That's what I want to know. The scientific. We need to get a scientist on.
I'm no Brian. He would probably know what that is. But it's a musty wooden smell because they're not in. I don't think they're in steel kegs and like refrigerated and stuff. I think they're left. They never get cold. They're left at room temperature and they're generally served that way.
Well, you know, we could actually ask them. It has their phone number on the bottle.
Is that just a contact or is it like call up the brewer?
It has. Brewed and bottled by Peabody Heights Brewery, 401 East 30. It's got their address, like usual. But phone number, 443-847-6223. I'll give them some little advertising there. This is pretty tasty.
It is. It tastes like a cask beer.
It does.
It's called the cask. I'm not really surprised.
It's bricked in double bock beer.
It's a cask beer, in my opinion. Like cask beers are very heavy, generally, in my opinion.
They are.
And this is one that I could drink more than just...
It came more than the
bottle. It came in a 12 ouncer.
Yeah.
So it came in a 12 ounce bottle,
mm-hmm.
and I could definitely drink more than one.
Pretty
of these.
Good.
Yeah, it looks like that. It tastes like the type of beer that comes in an 11 ounce snifter.
Mm-hmm.
Peabody Heights Brewery. ABV is 8%.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I like this one. I think this might get my vote for the night.
443-847-6223.
It's got a purple Ravens label.
And it's got a picture of Edgar Allan Poe there drinking a beer.
Yeah, that's some cool artwork on the front.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And we'll get these pictures.
I love beer with cool artwork. I mean, I've raved about that time and time again on here.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going in somewhere just scoping for beers, looking to try something new, something with some cool artwork, like I will judge a book by its cover.
I do the same thing with alcohol. If I'm like looking for porters and one of them, and I haven't had everything on this shelf, and one of them is... clearly cooler looking than the other one. I mean, no doubt I'll gravitate toward that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it may be subconscious, but like Ballast Point's killing it on flavor and font. and their artwork is great. Like, mm-hmm. I love it. Like, I added a sticker to our table somewhere around here. I don't want to move that bag and have it crinkle, but their artwork is fucking amazing. Like, this whole, like, seaside ship.
Mm-hmm.
thing. I think it's badass.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. There's one that's got some pretty cool ass shark artwork on it.
Oh, all those have some sort of fish thing.
But
on
the it's like a seasonal
shark
one that's
bite?
Out right
is that
now.
A brewery? Is
it? Maybe there was some sort of heavier one that they have out right now. I can't remember what it was. I saw it somewhere. I'll check their website.
Yeah, this the cask here is tasty.
Mm-hmm.
I love the color on it. I was saying it's like a garnet color.
I really do love the artwork on it, though, the Edgar Allan Poe. The Raven Beer. Hand me that other bottle there. I want to see.
Neon Gypsy?
I want to see how pretty it is here.
And then
neat.
There's that one.
Yeah, this one has like a... an Oriental thing going on,
or like a, you know, like a gypsy sort of thing.
I would go Eastern European.
I could see this looking
looks like something from
like
the
a
Orient.
Chinese dragon or something.
Oh, yeah, nope, you're right. I changed my mind.
Yeah, I could see that definitely. But I think it's supposed to be like, yeah, gypsy themed.
Which I'll use that to segue here since it's become commonplace to just announce gypsies, our segues.
Yeah.
Is no, it specifically reminded me of the Rush Hour font. And we're talking about comedies tonight.
Yes.
We are, because we deserve it.
And,
we do.
Yeah,
we're trying to end this year on a high note.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to.
Yeah.
We still have, what, 4 more days?
We still got 4 days.
Yeah, hopefully. Tanner sent out the message. He's like, let's do lighthearted comedies tonight. And then,
yeah.
And then it's like,
during that,
Carrie
I said,
Fisher,
R.I.P. Carrie Fisher. We still doing lighthearted comedies.
Yeah, we were talking about the show tonight, and then Carrie Fisher died.
Yeah.
And then
we were trying to be happier the whole time.
Yeah. So
we tried
to
comedies, yeah.
Now Rush Hour, you know what? Those are great.
Yeah, they are.
They're great.
I love Rush Hour.
I still
movies.
Have never seen the third one because I'm afraid of it. I don't want it to.
It's
ruin
not
it.
Bad. It's the weakest.
See, that's all I hear, and I don't want it.
It's not. It's not X-Men 3 ruining.
Oh,
bad.
Okay.
Or it's Spider-Man 3.
Same
ruining,
director though.
Or Iron Man 3 almost ruining.
No, it's like Boondock Saints 2. Like okay, like. You didn't try as hard. You like sort of. It's a combination of you didn't try as hard, but then tried a little too hard as well. Like, another couple months in development would have made Rush Hour 3 a super strong film. But I think it's like somebody clearly thought, oh, we have to get it out before people forget the wonderful comedies of Rush Hours 1 and 2. But sorry, that was your...
No.
I love the
Rush
Hour
movies. You described it perfectly. Like, I love the Rush Hour movies. I love... I actually saw the second one before... Like, in my canon of film,
mm-hmm.
I saw the second one before I saw the first. The second one was my introduction to the series, and I fucking loved it.
Mm-hmm. The second one was good.
And they kind of... The way they work is, like, it's not like there's some... huge overarching story for the entire
series. Yeah, back when movie telling was before there were franchises.
Right.
Yeah.
The word franchise hadn't been thrown around by then.
Yeah,
it was just
yeah.
the sequel.
That Rush Hour could have been the next Lethal Weapon if Brett Ratner hadn't fucked his own ass. Like,
to put it politely.
He like he's a horrible director. He is one of the
He did the Rush
Brett
Hour.
Brett Ratner.
Though.
No, he got lucky with the Rush Hour movies.
Okay.
Brett Ratner, I will say, on the record, he is the worst director that has somehow made it to mainstream film status and is getting, like, he is on studio
payrolls. I'll have to
payrolls.
Watch those movies since I've taken
No,
those
don't
classes,
even base this on
like,
Rush Hour. Just watch any of his other films.
About, like,
good, watch
X-Men
any
3.
Of his
good
X-Men
directing
3.
Or something, but, like, directing specifically, not necessarily the script writing or. The acting itself, but like the directing, yeah. I'll have to
see
look.
What
I'll
sells
look
in Rush
that.
Hour is Jackie Chan and
Chris
right.
Tucker,
right? Yeah,
and it's funny, so you don't really pay attention to it. But watch his films, like for directing, and especially any of the other ones other than Rush Hour 3. They're fucking horrible. He is the worst working director in Hollywood today.
Is he still working?
What's the last thing he's
as
done?
As far as I know, I don't know what the last thing he's done. We'll look that up. Yeah. But no, like, everything he does is just not good. It's X-Men 3.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Stand. Like,
God,
every single thing
one.
He does is that. And,
The Rush Hour movies are feel good. You don't need to get super invested or follow along for references and plot stuff. Like, it was a simpler time in the
90s. This guy looks like a douche.
The Rush Hour films are great to sit down. And, you know, family-friendly for older kids, teenagers, probably. Not going to bring your 7-year-old to it, probably, but I mean, I saw it with my parents. They took me to theaters back whenever they came out.
It could have been the next Lethal Weapon.
It should have been.
Yeah. It could have and should have been.
And you know what? That's one of those things where if the talent was in the right place, if they wanted to, I'm not going to say reboot because I hate that everyone does that, but continue the franchise with an older Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, I would be about it. Give me a Rush Hour film once a year. Send them to a different city.
Oh, my God.
One year they're in, like, Rush Hour 4 in Moscow, Rush Hour 5 in Honolulu, Rush Hour 6 in Madrid. Yeah. Like, send them all over the globe.
No, then
I will
you get
watch
to Rush
it.
Hour 10, and you are effectively at True Detective level of washed out detectives.
Yeah.
And it's not even funny. It's just dark.
Yeah, right.
Jackie Chan doesn't even want. Jackie Chan's hit a whole,
he's just, like
non-violence.
Smoking a cigarette.
He's hit a non-violence thing, and he doesn't want to beat anybody up.
No, yeah. I want to see a Fast and the Furious style escalation.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
By the time Rush Hour 8 comes along, like, there are tanks in the Arctic Circle, and Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker are on the International Space Station. Like, and you have to wonder what happened in the Rush Hour films to get those two characters onto the ISS.
Dude, the way you describe that, though, the Fast and the Furious franchise could be the modern day James Bond.
Oh my God.
Think about it. That sounds outlandish and crazy. But it's like James Bond.
Once,
like,
I see more of them, I'll watch
the
third
James
one.
Bond movies, like GoldenEye. Like, the most outlandish thing that happens is a dude gets sucked out of a depressurized plane.
Goldfinger, not
GoldenEye.
Goldfinger.
And, you know, that's the most, and it, the main centerpiece of the film is a golf match.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
And then you have GoldenEye.
That's really true.
Yeah.
And
then you have GoldenEye.
Satellite.
Yeah.
Where they can effectively destroy an entire economy with an EMP satellite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in that way, Fast and Furious is kind of the modern day James Bond franchise.
That's very true.
I've never
thought of it like that before.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to see him before.
I'll have to see him first.
If we're watching 20 Fast, 20 Furious, like 15 years down the road.
So Fast, So Furious. Or
Fast to the Future.
Fast to the Furious.
Yeah.
Fast to the Future when they do a reboot.
Yeah. Fast to the Future.
That's great.
But, yeah, Rush Hour films. I brought in to the table like it's actually here, in honor of Carrie Fisher in a non-Star Wars role.
Oh, real quick, back to Brett Ratner.
All right.
Who sucks. 1997, Money Talks. 1998, Rush Hour.
Yep.
2000, The Family Man. 2001, Rush Hour 2. 2002, Red Dragon.
Okay.
2004, After the Sunset. 2006.
Can we just skip to the end? Like,
six.
What?
Oh, I mean,
oh, okay.
I was going over thing. X-Men: The Last Stand. There's only like
oh,
seven of them.
Okay.
Yeah. 2006, 2007, Rush Hour 3. 2011, Tower Heist, and 2014, Hercules. I think that's the one with The Rock. Yep.
Yep.
Did
and
not
that's
see
it.
Either
working.
Of those. I guess so.
Because it looked horrible.
They yeah. both. There were two Hercules
movies
out that year,
aside,
and they both looked awful.
Aside from Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2, Red Dragon was okay. Didn't
I mean, Rush Hour 3 was okay. It's not a terrible movie.
Yeah, well, they've allegedly rebooted the Rush Hour franchise on TV. I've not seen
that
it.
Done?
Did I
and
talk
it may
about
have
this?
Canceled.
I might have done.
Over.
No, it did.
Know.
It got canceled hard.
The shit can.
There was no press for it because. I was
it must
going
have been bad.
No, I found it entirely by circumstance. And it was one of those things like I'm going through the guide channel and CBS, it was like Rush Hour, but it was an hour. And I thought, what sort of truncated, trimmed down version is this? And I looked it up. It came on like 2 hours afterward. It was you know,
like,
in the TV
guys,
reboot for Rush Hour.
Porno?
And I'm like, I did. I messaged my sister. I'm like, did you know anything about a Rush Hour TV series? And because she loves that movie, too. And she was like, no, I've never heard of this. I pulled up the Wikipedia thing. It was real. I recorded it. It was bad.
I could tell it was bad just from photos.
The first episode was the pilot was, it was the first movie.
Mm. Yeah.
And the
did,
thing
yeah.
was, the thing was, it almost worked. Except you did not have the chemistry of Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan. It didn't. And without that, you just have black detective and fish out of water Asian detective.
Right.
And it without those actors, there was no heart. And it lasted for maybe, I didn't watch any more after the pilot, but eventually, like a month later, I was like, whatever happened to that show? And it had been canceled. It made it like 4 or 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It did not, the pilot, for a series I love, I was completely unimpressed by the
but
pilot.
But nobody expected that to be outstanding. Like, Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan are what made that franchise. Like,
yeah.
Their
exactly.
chemistry,
yeah,
you can't
just replace
that.
Them, no. Nah. I really used to enjoy all those old Jim Carrey movies.
I wanted to bring up Jim Carrey tonight because Jim Carrey is a treasure.
Liar, Liar. I was thinking about that movie the other day. I used to love Liar, Liar. I wore out that VHS.
Jim Carrey hit a stream of movies similar to Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm. I was going to talk about him.
And Robin Carrey Williams.
Robin Williams.
But like Adam Sandler really took a dive there after a while. But Jim Carrey's a talented individual. I mean, he can do drama and comedy flawlessly. And
he's done.
Liar, Liar is a phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and any of those movies in that whole era, like my favorite is the movie that put him on the map, but Ace Ventura.
Oh yeah,
I fucking love Ace Ventura.
I'm still waiting for a third one.
Yeah, I would love to see him come back.
I do, but I also don't because it's not the second one was a fluke.
It's time to member. It's time to member.
The second one was a fluke in that it was as good as it was.
What if they made a third? But he's like a washed up.
He's like an old man,
and he's got to get back in the game.
He's got the stupid like half bald cap wig where he's got the ring or whatever, and then he's got the. He looks like. I was about to say a name on here, but there's someone I could picture that would look like that in about 20 years.
No, it. It wouldn't be. It just wouldn't be as funny. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't think he has the physicality, and I mean, he's older now, and I don't. Ace Ventura. I don't want a washed up Ace Ventura. I want the animated.
Well,
zany,
he starts off. It'd be like he'd be like essentially.
Unless it was literally
Bruce
the
Wayne in Batman Beyond. Maybe there's like a new pet detective that's coming in, and he's
James
like
Franco. Taking... Like what?
Yeah, James Franco. Why
no,
not?
No, I want Ace Ventura shouldn't be the only washed up old. He should be is before the title even appears on the screen, and he's called into action, and for some reason, scene change, and
that
he
works
takes
for
a
me
shower.
Too. I'm totally fine with this.
But Ace Ventura is a beacon of hope in an otherwise dreary, grim, and gritty reboot society. He should be even more animated and over the top. Much like The Mask. If there was a sequel to The Mask, don't correct me. Don't do it. If there was a sequel to The Mask and Jim Carrey was in it, okay. I don't want, you know, the washed up, older, mature version of him. I want that same mask on him acting like the wolf from Looney Tunes.
Right.
See, I would like to see a third Ace Ventura film that has Jim Carrey being more like Matthew McConaughey in the second later half of True Detective, where he's gotten out of the game, but there's this one case. Maybe it's that dove that went missing that he was trying to find. And he's just kind of gone crazy.
The curse of the white dove.
Trying to find this goddamn dove. And it's him kind of coming back together to get his shit together to solve.
Only if he wears
case.
Heelys the entire time.
I'd be okay with that.
I love Jim Carrey. I've loved him since I was a kid. I mean, his comedy does not get old to me. I can watch Ace Ventura today. I remember watching it when I was a kid. You know, I was probably 9 or 10. I'm surprised my parents let me watch it.
Right. Yeah,
but I thought it was funny as shit because there's all the slapstick comedy in it.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older and I understand the more intricate plot that was going on and how
ridiculous
everything is, but it all makes sense. It's like, oh, of course he would have to act like he was mentally retarded and go to the mental institute to get into the storage locker to look in this guy's journals.
Of course.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, it does. It's
and,
great.
And then like the whole Ray Finkel, Lois Einhorn thing, like that made no sense to me when I was a kid.
Laying across,
I was like, I didn't even care that it didn't make sense. It was a funny movie, but the funniest thing as I've aged, and I attribute this, I relate to it directly, of almost getting in a bad car accident, and I somehow didn't scratch the car. I spun completely out of control, and some on a wet road one time, like years back. It was the first time I'd really gotten out of control.
Is this really happening, or is that a metaphor?
No, this really happened. Okay. This is a real thing that happened to me. Like back when I first started driving, I was a teenager, and it was the first time I ever like came close to crashing. And I was coming down Igo Gap, and I hit some wet leaves, and literally spun my car 360 and went up on the embankment. Didn't hit anything, and I was perfectly fine. The car was fine. I just had to back up and go on my way. And what Ace Ventura in the movie does in the scene is exactly how I felt in that moment. But when he is in that chase with the guys and he's chasing the guys that stole Dan Marino,
oh, yeah,
and he rolls his like shitty ass piece of shit car through a picnic and it rolls back over and its tires and the engine's dead and he's just like whoosh, and, rrr, and starts it back up. That is exactly how I felt when I careened up onto this embankment in my car when I was a teenager and almost killed myself. Just whoosh.
I would like to use that to segue, speaking of cars and piling up, as we mentioned earlier, Carrie Fisher had passed away. So I was like, what's a Star Wars movie or a non-Star Wars movie with Carrie Fisher? And the Blues Brothers came to mind.
Yeah.
And that is a movie that I'm certain was based entirely around how many cars and set can we pile up right, and sets can we destroy? Like, she's constantly trying to murder, you know, the perennial Blues Brothers, and they always escape unharmed and completely ignorant of any danger, which is odd. Like, they're launched into the stratosphere in that phone booth with the flamethrower, right, the building's brought down, and they don't even seem to notice that disaster is happening. There's a beautiful, complete unawareness of sort of the space around them and, you know, how things are working out. And that movie, all they do is just blow up and crash and ruin cop cars. I mean, hundreds of them go over the edge. The Bluesmobile flips around and like goes backward for some reason. but funnier because you get
funnier.
And all that's practical.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's all practical. Like, they are wrecking cars.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just got his big Cadillac-sized police cars. Yeah. Just unaware, almost, that they're in a mall and smashing everything. Like, they were like, we're going to murder every set piece we design. Like, we can't leave a scene without destroying it completely. And that just looked like a fun movie to be a part of. The plot is, you know, it came out in 1980. If you don't know the plot of the Blues Brothers, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi.
They're getting the band back together.
Yeah, they're getting the band back together. They got a sign from God to get the band back together. So they run around getting this whole ensemble band back together. Carrie Fisher is trying to kill them for some reason. I won't spoil it in case you haven't seen this movie, but
it's so good.
Carrie Fisher's trying to kill them. And it just keeps not working on that comical level. And the soundtrack is phenomenal for two reasons. One, it's a great soundtrack. And number two, this is a time before all of those songs were played out completely.
Yeah,
right.
Like, Aretha Franklin's number is great. And you're like, this is so good. It's just, you know, think, I've heard a song a million times, but there's an ensemble cast dancing behind her, and it hasn't been used in a billion Kia commercials yet.
Right, like, exactly.
You got Ray Charles in there and James Brown. It's a tribute movie to music as much as it is a comedy.
I've never actually seen it.
You haven't? Admit that. Oh, that's our next movie night.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next. Well, once we got to finish Fast and Furious.
Yeah, we
got
to get through Fast and Furious.
I'm going to watch the third one tomorrow, I guess.
And we have to do The Rock.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to see The Rock.
All right.
In any particular movie or just in general?
No,
not
the
act of the
Rock.
Movie. I'm going to have a movie
with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Dwayne Johnson, who I would not be opposed to doing like
a Rock movie night.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
No, I love The Rock.
Luckily, we're going to get a bunch of him in the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, I cannot wait until you guys have knocked out the first three. So
I did.
Start.
Okay. I'm at a low point having finished Tokyo Drift.
Do I really need to watch it again, you guys?
You need to so you can appreciate what's coming. Yeah,
there's one. The one redeeming thing about Tokyo Drift is the drift driving is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's what Will said, too. Tanner
Faust, who did some drift driving when VW first opened.
Oh, yeah?
They had him come here and...
Oh, wow, that's
the
cool.
Movie,
yeah, I know.
The movie makes Too Fast, Too Furious look like The Fast and the Furious.
Okay.
You're making a face, and you're right. That's the right reaction. It's a bad movie, Jared. Okay, it's, okay. If I never see these characters again,
no,
I
wait.
Will be,
I liked the first one better than the second one.
That's what I'm saying. It makes Too Fast, Too Furious look like The Fast and the Furious.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I was expecting.
No, what you do, what you come out after watching Tokyo Drift, you're like, you know, Too Fast, Too Furious really wasn't that bad in retrospect. Like, it wasn't great, but.
And then please tell me the fourth one is immediately so much better.
The fourth one is my least favorite of the new ones, but the fourth one is not bad.
It's better than
by any measure, and it is better. It's better than Tokyo Drift, but it is not bad bad by any measure. Mm-hmm. But you have to have the fourth one. The fourth one works really hard because it has to reintroduce the world, and because at this point when it came out, we hadn't had a Fast and Furious movie in probably 3 years. So it sort of had to reintroduce the world, and it had to reintroduce Vin Diesel and Paul Walker's characters, as well as their, like,
what they've been up to.
Now, didn't you say that that Tokyo Drift really comes after 7?
Yeah.
Which I can see now.
Well, Tokyo Drift, I think, sort of happens between 6 and 7.
Between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a scene shoehorned in at the end that makes you think something else has gone on here. But if I never see those characters from Tokyo Drift again, I'll be fine. In fact, I prefer it, honestly. If
no,
I never
Han,
see this.
Han comes back.
He's okay.
Han's
okay.
Badass.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can deal with more of him, but...
No, and he only gets
Bama Boy 69 or whatever his screen name is.
The kid from
Sling
Blade.
I'm going to watch
from
it tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, but I like him mustard and taters. Sling Blade?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. He was the little redneck boy from that.
That movie was... Not just Sling Blade, but Tokyo Drift was so bad.
No, watch Tokyo Drift so we can move on to 4.
Okay.
Even just put it on the background. Especially if you've already seen it. Just put it on the background.
It's almost better to mute it just so you can watch the drifting.
Okay.
The drifting is badass.
I'll put it on when I get home.
The dialogue and that guy's accent are grating.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
Yeah,
okay.
Do you mean I'm going to Japan?
Yeah, like, can play something on your DS while this game
is
going
story.
On.
Funny story. I think when I saw Tokyo Drift, it was the last time I went duck pin bowling. Yeah, I was babysitting.
How serendipitous.
Yeah, I was babysitting, and I took the kids to go see the movie, and then we went out duck pin bowling, locked the keys in the car, so I had to show them how to break into a car with a coat hanger.
Nice.
Good life lesson.
Yeah, that's right.
That is a great life lesson.
That probably doesn't work on newer cars, though.
I have no idea. I haven't had to do it in a while.
Yeah, I've not had to do that in a while either.
I think I've had to break into my own car before, but I think we violently they have the rolly window, so I think we just stuck our hands to it and really tried to force them down.
Yeah.
Fish the keys out. We couldn't unlock it with the coat hanger, but at the lanyard and the keys were in there, so we were able to fish it out by hooking the coat hanger around the lanyard. But there was a point where I was like, are we just going to bust my window in by leaning and pressing on it too hard? That wasn't fun. That was a concert at Wolf Trap seeing Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, but with a live orchestra.
Mm.
My only qualm was it was not the extended edition, but
you would have liked it when I was at Riverside earlier today. They had Lord of the Rings blasting in there.
Nice.
Like just over the speakers. I was like, fantastic.
That's a franchise I won't ever get sick of.
No,
not a lighthearted comedy.
The original three,
but
not The Hobbit.
George Lucas to me.
Yeah.
I was a Lord of the Rings defender. Be like, haha, your director, Star Wars nerds, betrayed you and made 3 shitty prequels. PJ's not ever going to do that to us. Oh, man, we got him back on The Hobbit now instead of Benicio del Toro's. Eat a bag of dicks, fanboys, and... Oh, I'm sad.
Yeah.
all the fun I've been making of Star Wars nerds has come back and haunted me in the worst way. Except at least the prequels got progressively better, whereas the Hobbit movies got progressively
terrible.
Yeah, I'm like, I get through the first one. I'm like, it's okay. It'll come back together in the second one because there's not going to be a Scooby-Doo style chase scene with Smaug who's missing a pair of arms. They're not going to do that to me. Bring a Hobbit because we can't have dwarves in the mountain and then do exactly... No, not tonight. Not tonight, Alan.
Don't do it. Don't go down
there. Don't go there.
It's the holidays.
No,
this is a comedy
episode. We will
have to
have another Lord of the Rings episode just for Alan.
It will be pure viral talk.
Yeah, we did one Lord of the Rings episode. We'll have to have another one just for you.
I think there were a couple times during that episode when I was like, Alan would probably know.
Yeah, it's not going to end well.
Have you listened to that episode?
It'd
you
be like
listen
bring
to it, rage out a little bit about how little we know about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, listen
come back
to it, okay. And then come back and we'll do a sequel.
It's going to be like if we brought Brian on and asked him to talk about Superman. It's going to be bad. I'll do it.
No, go listen to that episode.
Speaking of which, in January, I'm pretty sure they're adding a bunch of the Superman movies to Netflix. So we should do a Superman thing.
Yeah,
I've never in my adult life watched the Superman films.
Like I've seen the first one, not the other three.
Me neither.
Pre-horse accident.
I think the first one is the only one that's not coming to Netflix, of course.
What?
But I'm pretty sure...
It's probably because the rights to Superman is divided up among like 10 to 15 people.
Yeah.
You've got Siegel and Schuster and WB.
Yeah,
the rights to Superman is ridiculous.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure most of those movies are coming on up to, I think, the one with Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which
Brandon Routh.
I don't need to watch that one again.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times.
I like
times.
Him so just, much more as the Adam.
I still like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I love Kevin Spacey. He's great in that movie, but that is it.
Yeah.
About that.
I unfortunately did not. Until we get live-action Clancy Brown to counter live-action Ben Affleck. Of all the sins, and I'm going to say this every time I think of something new, of all the sins, that is the biggest for Batman
for
v. Superman,
Batman
is
v. Superman.
We have an older Batman, but this shitty young Lex Luthor.
Fuck that Lex Luthor.
You should, if you're going to have older Bruce...
I hated him from the commercials for that movie.
Bruce Wayne
and
Lex Luthor are wonderful foils to each other.
They're supposed to be.
They're different. Well, no, I mean, he's supposed to be Superman, but as rich, billionaire, fictional businessmen... They are wonderful foils to each other, and they should be the same age. You could
Bruce
have
Wayne and Lex Luthor. Yeah,
yeah. You should have. They should have had Clancy Brown do a live action older Lex Luthor, who's over it and still hates Superman. Like this old fashioned businessman who hates fucking Superman, and he's just played by live action bald Clancy Brown.
Right.
And then he would be a perfect foil to older
Ben
Affleck,
Bruce
Wayne.
For the record,
Clancy
Brown is the voice of Lex Luthor in the animated series.
Yes. Yeah. He's also, he was in Sleepy Hollow for a hot minute. He is General Ealing on The Flash. He's got, you've heard his voice. If you've watched anything animated, he's Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob.
Okay.
He has he is. He's got a super deep voice. I think he's done more voice work than live action almost, but. Phenomenal actor, both, you know, on and off camera. And he's usually, because of his voice, he's usually a bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just deep and intimidating. But I wish they had had him in that movie. I can't go on. I'm thinking about The Hobbits now.
We're going to go back to comedy.
Yes, yeah, good, good. Get me back to comedies. Get me out of this dark, terrible place.
No, I wanted to talk back to... not Ace Ventura, but Jim Carrey for a minute. Is Dumb and Dumber is one of my favorite movies.
The original
ever.
One.
The original.
Did you see the second one?
I saw the second
one,
and it disappointed me. Don't see it if you love the second one.
And that's why I don't think a third Ace Ventura would be any good.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because the whole time I was watching the second Dumb and Dumber, they were obviously trying to recapture the magic that they had achieved on the first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But... And it just, they never got it. It devolved into a different sort of comedy.
When they're older, I think
it's more just stupid slapstick stuff in the second one.
When they're older like that, I think it's stuff that's sad and not funny.
Like, I thought I laughed, but it was a completely different style of comedy than the first one was. Mm-hmm. The first one is slapstick and goofy and dumb.
Yeah.
But there is a brilliance in the way that that is crafted. Especially if you watch the director's cut of the first Dumb and Dumber movie,
mm-hmm.
there are jokes that are extrapolated out that really take some. They've got a slow burn, and they do pay off. But I mean, they will wait that entire movie to pay off, and it is genius how it's crafted for such a quote unquote dumb movie.
Yeah,
and the second one doesn't do that. It's just straight up dumb comedy.
The second one looked to me like Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels needed a paycheck fast.
I don't even think it's that they needed the paycheck. I just think they were bored. Because that is the one thing I enjoyed about watching the second Dumb and Dumber movie is that they look like they are having a really good goddamn time.
Okay.
And that was enjoyable for me to watch.
All right.
Is they look like it doesn't look like they did it for a paycheck at all. It looks like they genuinely had a good time making the first one. They're like, let's figure out a way we can make a second one of these. I don't care if it's good. Let's just make
a second one. I don't care if it takes 20 years. Let's make a second one.
You could tell that they were having a really fun time goofing around with each other again. But it is a completely different style of comedy than the first.
Which
for me took, you know, I didn't like it because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first one, like this whole Seabass thing, when he shows up, like the whole Seabass joke is stretched way further out in the director's cut, and it makes way more sense. You're just led to believe that this dude happens to run into him again.
Yeah.
In the theatrical cut. But there's a whole thing with that. And it's funny. Like the director's cut of Dumb and Dumber, the first one, is great.
It's things like that. I just, if they did a second Mask, because there's only been one, if they did a second Mask and a third Ace Ventura, I'd see it, but I'd probably wait till it was like Redboxable or something.
Mm-hmm.
I knew going into Dumb and Dumber 2 that I was not going to like it, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That's good.
It was still bad, but not as bad. So, but no, one comedian I wanted to mention is, comedy's weird, first of all. I mean, like the way it progresses, because I mean, you started years ago when, you know, film first came around with stuff like Charlie Chaplin and
Buster Keaton,
things like that.
Who we talked about in one of the other episodes.
Yeah, and it's just straight up old slapstick physical comedy.
Yeah.
And then it progresses. I mean, if you can't speak on film,
that's true.
Much,
yeah, there's no
be.
Words. That's very true.
And then as it progresses, you get clever, like, wordplay and things like that. And then slapstick, you don't get slapstick films anymore. You may have a character in a film that is like the chubby guy who falls down a lot.
Right.
You know, and, you know, there's slapstick there. But Dumb and Dumber was one of the last slapstick-style films. But as far as...
One of the last successful slapstick
films.
Yeah,
there have been others.
And
they've been bad.
But the way comedy progresses, like, I love the old style, like Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
I love Buster Keaton. And somebody more modern that's managed to achieve that is Mr. Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that, what's that actor's name?
Rowan Atkinson.
Rowan Atkinson. That man is so talented. The fact that he can make multiple generations laugh at the same thing without saying a complete word.
Yeah.
That takes some raw talent.
It does. Yeah. That's true.
And it's slapstick at the end of the day. Or one of my favorite bits of his, when he's in church and he's trying to open a lozenge. And just the crinkle of the wrapper, and then he's trying to sneak it next to the guy, like, so the guy doesn't see him put it in his mouth. Just little things like that, he makes funny as shit. And I didn't like the Mr. Bean movies quite as much, but the Mr. Bean show is funny as shit.
Huh.
Like, I grew up with that. Have you never watched it?
I haven't seen the show, no. Man. I saw the movie where he tried to steal the Mona Lisa or something
The movies aren't nearly as good.
And he ended up like dumping paint thinner on it and drew a big old smiley face instead or something. I don't know.
The movies aren't nearly as good.
Okay.
No, the shows.
Older stuff like that's pretty solid.
Yeah. The movie, it was the same sort of thing where, like, same with Dumb and Dumber 2, is they're just trying to recapture the magic and make it go for an hour and a half.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work as well. It works better as, like, little 20-minute segments.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, just little short things.
Side note, though, speaking of, like, shorter and older stuff, they had, for a minute, like, some of those, like, super classic, like, horror movies on Netflix, like the original, like, out of the 30s, Invisible Man and Dracula and, like, Nosferatu. And I'm one of those people, probably like a lot of people, who will, like, still pull out his phone, like, dick around because I can't just focus on one thing during a movie. But those old movies, there's no filler. And I probably, because it was expensive and difficult to film, like, every scene has a purpose. And I I couldn't pick up my phone because anytime I looked away, something happened.
Which is sort of how it should be.
I agree. No, I like that, though, is that it forced me, like, I was trying to make dinner while watching it, like, over my shoulder. And I couldn't. I had to pause the thing. I'm like, how did he get to Romania? Like, like, okay, all right, they're in this room, I'll turn around. Where the fuck did that bat puppet come from? Like, oh, god damn it, I gotta turn it back 5 seconds, because that was 5 seconds of film they really needed to film.
Yeah.
And
no, that's a good point. I've got an experiment I would love to try, and that is get somebody. And I legitimately like the first Transformers movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed that
one.
I've got an experiment I would like to try. Is get somebody that has not seen the first Transformers movie.
Okay.
Which I think the first Transformers is a pretty good example of a movie with a lot of filler and not a lot of plot. It's a lot of pretty images.
Yeah.
Get somebody to sit down that has not seen that Transformers movie and then calculate it out, a Lego set that would take about 2 hours to put together, and have somebody have that movie going while they're putting a Lego set together and see how much of that movie they comprehend. Because I guarantee you that they would be able to comprehend the entire plot. Because it's not complicated.
Yeah,
and that's how a lot of movies are nowadays, that you can just have them on and there's a thinly veiled plot.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all just pretty images.
The problem I see, I like your experiment. I think it would be not as good for that movie, because even if you're paying attention, you can't tell which ones are the fucking Autobots and which ones are the Decepticons anyway. You can pick out Optimus Prime.
No, sure you can.
You can pick out Bumblebee.
No, same as anything. Bad robot's eyes light up red. Good robot's eyes light up blue. Same with any movie. Any movie with robots, bad robots, their eyes are red. Good robots, their eyes are blue.
That's
or white.
True.
Blue
but or white. In Terminator 2, Arnold's eyes were red.
Mm. But like when he's going evil, if there's someone who's
evil. Even that, when it shows the HUD of like when you're seeing Terminator vision,
red.
When he's evil, it's red text. When he's good, it's like green or white text.
Yep.
Every time. So like there is a very subconscious level people would be able to pick up on a huge plot point in that movie and be able to decipher who the characters
are. In this country, anyway.
Yeah.
In other cultures, maybe red is not so evil, quote, of a color.
Yeah, the overseas Chinese movies, they love the red.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Everything's red. Mm-hmm. The flag. The economy.
The economy. Burn.
It's not really a burn. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
Communism.
Yeah.
It's red.
Yeah, it's true.
It's going for highbrow.
I thought you were going for in the red, but that's fine.
No, I think they're probably
in the black in China. Yeah, they're probably in the black in China.
Everyone, you know, has all
point.
Their factories out there.
That's true. It's not so bad a burn, I guess. It's just fact.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Right.
Okay.
I want to bring us back for a second. I want to talk about women in comedy. And I wish
they're funny. Get over it.
Well, I wish we had a lady here to talk about this. Because I've noticed a trend over the past couple of years. I'm always a fan of a woman of like a funny lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love a sense of humor.
Lisa Lampanelli.
But there's been a trend, and I'm specifically thinking like Amy Poehler's movie she came out with. What was that? Trainwreck.
Sisters.
Amy
Schumer was Trainwreck.
Or Trainwreck, yeah.
Amy Schumer. Okay.
But there's this trend of lady like Whitney Cummings does it. You know. You can be funny about things that aren't, like, lady things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you get a lot of lady comedians. And I know that's, like, they're trying to be relatable and, like, trying to talk about things that affect them. But, and I'm really not trying to be sexist with this, because I do like lady comedians.
I'm already forming my response in
my
head.
But?
Oh, the but.
You see much more, and it could be said that it's because it is a male dominated industry and that it's been much more male dominated earlier on than females started to come into it. And that could be why this is the case, but males will, male comedians tend, they'll talk about whatever, they're not just talking about, oh, it's a pain in the ass when I have to shave my pubes. Blah, blah, blah. But no, there's female comedians that talk about how it's a pain in the ass because their boyfriend wants them to shave their pubes.
Right.
Male comedians aren't talking about that.
Yeah.
And that gets really old to me. As a male that is a fan of female comedians, I know that you've got more to your voice than just that. And that pains me. It frustrates me, as I know they have more to say. But they're not saying it. And I don't know if that's the industry that's kind of putting that circle around them, or if that's how they actually are.
I mean, if
are.
That's what gets more people to listen to them do stand-up comedy than, or whatever sort of comedy
like Amy
Poehler's doing,
killing it. Like, I'm not a fan of her comedy, but she's killing it. And girls love her comedy. So maybe that is the bubble that they're sort of forced into. You know, if Amy Poehler were to choose herself, or not Amy Poehler, Amy Schumer.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, Amy Poehler does do non-female.
Yeah, Amy Schumer.
Quote, unquote,
anytime
non-female
I've said
comedy.
Amy Poehler, I've met Amy Schumer. But maybe, you know, the society and, you know, our culture just sort of puts that bubble around her where she sees, well, hey, you know, that's not the jokes I would want to tell, but it seems to be selling comedy albums and selling shows, and that's what they want. And that irritates me. Because it's like, I want to see funny comedians talk about things that, you know, other than that. You know? Yeah. It's not just because I can't relate to having
a period. Well, I had my period again.
You know, it's not just because I can't relate to having my first period. It's not about that. It's like, I just know there's more to be said. You know, to me, that's the same as like a male comedian get up there and just talking about dick jokes the whole time.
Right.
Nobody wants that.
No, but I mean, throw one in there every now and then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love Dave Attell.
Yeah, right? I get drunk. What do? Penis in the fish tank. Should have expected it.
Where's he been?
I don't know. That
creepy hobbit-looking motherfucker.
That fucking guy.
I will say...
Yeah, I really didn't mean for that to sound sexist. I just, like...
I love Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Yes.
Oh, 30
Tina
Rock,
Fey is my
loved
them,
it.
Them, I do. Yeah. They, yeah.
Parks and Rec, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Loved it. And they both wrote, you know, those shows and everything.
Yep.
Did not necessarily care for the Sisters movie they did. Watched it.
I did not
tried,
see that.
Didn't really resonate at all with me. Mm. I don't know if it's because I'm a dude or I just didn't think it was as funny, but
I don't know.
I watched it. I like both their works.
Maybe they're just better at writing shorter versions of things instead of hour and a half long movies, 2 hour movies.
Or I would go the opposite, is maybe they're better at long form where it's telling story arcs over a season and or several seasons and everything.
Tina Fey, back to what I was saying about female comedians, is she's a female comedian that is able to transcend like just telling period jokes.
Oh, she can transcend anything. Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But she is still able to strike a uniquely female style of comedy.
True.
And, like, that's very admirable to me. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix.
Yeah.
That is very female comedy. But I still find it funny. You know,
I watched the first
but it's not just
few episodes
period
of that
jokes.
Show.
I watched it, honestly, for Titus. He's got the best lines. I don't know who writes them. I don't care who writes them.
Is Titus the roommate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Titus Andromedon.
Titus Andromedon. Yeah.
But Mean Girls, it's one of my favorite movies.
Oh,
that's a great movie.
Yeah.
One of the best. That's
but it is
phenomenal.
It is a uniquely female perspective, but it's still relatable by a male audience. And that is what female comedians can do. But it seems to me that they take the easy road a lot of times and just do like, oh my God, yeah, my boyfriend, we had a pregnancy scare. You know, that sort of, it's like, oh, I've heard this joke, lady.
Yeah. Carlos Mencia already stole this joke.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because he's a man.
Yeah. And he steals jokes.
Yeah. Glad I haven't heard from him in a while. Not that he was, like, contacting me personally.
Yeah. Where are you on that one, 2016?
Where do you...
Too soon? Nothing's happened yet.
How bad would you feel if you found out he was dead like tomorrow? Though
I'd feel a little.
Yeah,
bad.
He dies tomorrow. I may not be able to post.
And
this
it wasn't.
Episode.
Yeah. And it wasn't like something natural, like a heart attack. Like it was a bad. It was like a bad drug overdose, and the suicide note said something like, "Everything I ever did was a hack. I can't live with myself." It was a bad.
No, I would feel pretty terrible.
It just says, I'm a hack.
I'm
a just
hack.
H-A-C. He died before he could write the K.
No, are you happy, Jared Miller at brewchat.com?
Jared at brewchat.com.
My last thing I wanted to bring up was spoof movies. How do you guys feel about those? Because when they came out, I mean, I guess they've been around for a while.
You're talking like Scary Movie?
Yeah, precisely. Because, like, you've got
they
movies
flooded
that go
the market
earlier.
Way too quick and they had really, to try yeah. hard right, way too
well,
quick.
Well, spoof movies have been around for a minute because you've got things like...
Austin Powers was
yeah,
a great
Austin
spoof
Powers,
movie.
Austin Powers, great spoof movie. You had the Naked Gun series, yep. great spoof movie.
Oh, yeah.
But Naked then Gun. You get Leslie to Nielsen. These that are like Austin Powers, or not Austin Powers, but Scary Movie. And then that they did superhero movie.
They flooded
did,
the market.
Yeah, they
had a Twilight
way overdid
one.
It. Yeah,
Scary Movie worked because there were so many. They weren't they were
the
referencing
Scary Movie one was great.
Yeah, they were referencing the Scream movies, but a lot of other horror movies.
Yeah,
right.
When it became referencing other movies that came out that year, all well, the time. It,
Scary
yeah.
Movie one was so meta. In a time where we didn't have things that were meta.
Yeah.
It was before the internet.
Right. Well,
like, not before the internet, but before, you know, we were still on AOL 5.0.
Right.
When that came out. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got mail, you know, that whole. So it wasn't everybody was just connected on their phones and everywhere all the time. So meta wasn't really a thing, but that was. And then it just kind of kept going.
Yeah, because almost all of them died in the first one, and then for no reason whatsoever,
yeah.
like the cast returned in the second one.
And then they started spoofing things that weren't even really scary movies, just sort of pop culture references.
Right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I got completely lost on those movies. I remember seeing the first one when I was, like, 13 and thinking it was funny as shit because I wasn't supposed to be watching it, you know?
Right. right.
And maybe that is the target audience for those movies. Maybe even though they are rated R... They are secretly, the demographic they're going for is you know,
younger.
13, 14-year-olds to secretly watch it at a sleepover at their buddy's house. But that's
I
what I wanted to ask is, who is watching
before.
These movies to warrant them to keep making them? I don't know a single person that is like, yeah, that Scary Movie 3 is funny as shit.
I don't know.
I mean, is that the same kind of humor that's in, like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know, just dumb, dude. The same kind of thing you were talking
it's
about with Dumb and Dumber 2.
Dumb
just like
no, this
dumb.
Is, well,
like
this
said,
is they, lower than Dumb and Dumber
they were
2.
Commentaries on the first ones, and then it was like, oh, that did well. Let's churn out one every year
yeah.
to make fun of the bot. The first one made fun of tropes. When you're just commenting and parodying movies that came
right.
out that year, it's not quite a trope yet.
No,
like,
it's not.
We're going to do a Pirates of the Caribbean thing. Like, that movie just came out. Like that.
Yeah.
It's... The Pirates hasn't been run into the ground for
yeah.
30 years yet because that just came out. Like, Scary
yeah.
Movies. Same with Austin Powers. Like, they didn't just make fun of one James Bond movie that came
right,
out last year.
Right, they put all
year.
Of them
was
in. Yeah.
30 years of James Bond movies, and they're like... And
we'll
Austin Powers
bit,
is
we'll
unique because
bit,
it actually
we'll
ruined
bit.
James Bond movies.
One look at something like Your Highness.
Because no one could take them seriously.
Your Highness. That was parodying
Your
which,
Highness.
You know, any medieval that. Movie, and those have
yeah.
been around forever.
I wanted that movie to be good.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. And it's one of those movies I'm not watching it sober.
I've only seen pieces of that movie.
I'm not
yeah.
watching it sober, but it's goofy as shit, and I love it. You could tell the people making it were having fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Danny McBride and... Was that Danny McBride and James
yeah.
Franco? James Franco and Seth Rogen and that whole crew have done the brilliant job of being able to make money off getting high and hanging out with your friends.
Yeah, yeah, they really have.
Like, think what you want of them. There, they found some sort of magic formula. Like, what if we could just smoke up and film random ideas and make a shit ton of cash?
Yeah.
And they've done it. And
they have done it.
It's worked out wonderfully for them.
Did you guys see Sausage Party?
Oh, no, I did not.
No.
Oh, you didn't see Sausage Party? Oh, my God.
I will say, on lighthearted comedies, I don't know if I've said them on air or not, 21 and 22 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They
I
are
love those.
Hilarious, stupid. 22 Jump Street.
I need to see the second
is
one.
A, that is a. 21 Jump Street was a funny movie. 22 is a parody of every sequel ever, and it's done phenomenally. It's a wonderful parody. It's a wonderful comedy.
I love
it's
those
wonderful
movies just
slapstick.
Because of how funny, like genuinely
yeah.
funny Channing Tatum is.
Yeah.
Because when that first. When that dude first started appearing in movies, like, the thing that put him on the map was one of those dance movies.
Yeah.
Like, Dance It Up or whatever it was called. And I was like, he just looks like a tool.
And that's why his delivery
but
is so great all
as
the time.
Shit.
Yeah.
Like, he is so
he's like
funny.
The Rock. Like, The Rock showed up in The Mummy Returns as this horrible Scorpion CGI. King,
yeah. And it looked horrible.
Scorpion King. And then he was in the Scorpion King, and it was bad. But The Rock is one of the funniest fucking actors.
Yeah, he's great.
I can't wait. Like, I enjoy watching football as much as the next, you know, guy. But when over the summer, when Ballers comes on HBO, it's like live action adult Looney Tunes. Like, oh, I know football season's about to start because Ballers is on. And this is the most ridiculous, stupid ass. It's stupid. It is a dumb fucking show with these awful characters. And I cannot get enough.
Rob Corddry is great in that show, too.
They're all great.
Yeah.
It's, you watch the show, you watch what The Rock is wearing, and you watch him make terrible decisions.
Oh my god, the suits they put him in.
It's comedy. It's comedy gold.
Yeah, it really
did you guys
is.
Watch Entourage? Because that's pretty much Entourage with sports.
Yeah, but this is The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, with The Rock.
Yeah, but with Dwayne Johnson and Rob Corddry.
Well, The Rock was sort of the same thing. Just like
I saw a couple episodes.
It was
of
not
Entourage
a great show.
I wasn't a
but
big fan.
I enjoyed watching it. Every bit
Ballers
of it.
Is great because it's almost the behind the scenes of weird shit you see in real life.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plaxico Burress shoots himself in the leg in a nightclub or something. You're like, how the fuck does that
right?
even happen?
Come on, man.
But Ballers is several episodes of like PR teams and financial managers dealing with something leading up and then that happening. And you're like, this wouldn't be so cartoonish. Or this would be pure fiction and ridiculousness, except I know these headlines exist in real life with these
right,
NFL players.
Yeah, that's a good show.
That's a lighthearted comedy.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I've never actually like watched much of it.
Yeah, it's on HBO. Yeah.
They're
only
20-minute
episodes. You can breeze
yeah.
right
it
through
is.
Them.
It's worth watching. You know, the writing, it's okay.
It's pretty solid. I mean, it's okay.
It's
yeah,
comedy.
It's
right. it's
yeah.
a live action Looney Tunes with NFL financial managers.
Well, kick ass. Well,
yeah.
You guys want to wrap it up about here?
Yeah,
it works for me.
Yeah,
yeah. I just finished my beer, so yeah, I'm good to go.
Yeah. I'm still sipping on the Finish the Bare Ass Blonde bottle
I'll
working on the
something more so we can cheers to the New Year's.
Yeah, yeah, this is our last episode of 2016. I'm excited for 2017.
Good riddance.
And then moving on us into like doing this for a whole year, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, getting mm-hmm. there.
And yeah, so last episode of the year.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Last episode of the year, and dedicate this episode to the late Carrie Fisher,
mm-hmm.
sadly.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully,
God rest her dead soul.
2016 just won't keep on.
We got 4 days. If you don't hear from us again, 2016 got us too.
Yeah, that's right. See you on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this has been episode 46 of the Brew Chat Podcast, and we will see you next time.
That's right.